Good morning. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word to us. It's a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. And if you're able to keep that reading open in front of you from Psalm 63, that would be great. In the midst of the wonderful noise that we have in our midst this morning with the cries of children and the rattles of various toys, what I want you to do is to imagine and turn those noises into the screechings of eagles in the air, the rustling of trees through a Tasmanian wilderness. Because I wanted to begin by telling you the story of when I was young. And I was hiking through the Tasmanian wilderness. It was just a few of us. We were young. We were teenagers. And on the way back from where we had visited, we decided to go off track. And the predictable happened. We ended up heading for the wrong hill. And we ended up busting our way through thick undergrowth where the trees grew tighter than the width of my backpack. And we ended up having to avoid ravines, and we had to jump over a couple of tiger snakes. And it was something of an adventure to begin with as we found ourselves lost in the wilderness. But then we ran out of water. And normally that's okay in Tasmania. There's plenty of rivers and streams, but not this time. The only moisture we could find was stagnant and stinking. And by the time we stumbled back to where we had parked our cars 6 days earlier, we were thirsty. And not your normal sort of, oh, I wish someone could hand me a pint of something type thirsty. But thirsty. Cracked lips, dry mouth, light-headed, that sort of thirst. Painfully thirsty, desperately in need of water. We had become weak and fragile and vulnerable. So hold that image in your head as the noise of our wonderful room this morning turns into the noise of the Tasmanian wilderness. You see, over this half term, we are breaking into a series that we've been looking at the life of David. And in this half term, we are looking at some of the songs he wrote, some of the writings from King David. And today we're looking at Psalm 63. And it begins, if you look at it, with a declaration of thirst, of longing. Take a look with me. Verse 1. Pick it up and have a look. You, God, are my God, he says. Earnestly I seek for you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Now, I don't know about you, but often when I've read words like this in the Psalms over the years, I've slightly romanticized them. I imagine it's like David saying to God, oh God, I long for you. In much the same way as we might say to someone, I miss you. I wish you were here. But it's different to that. Sometimes we spiritualize words like this. Perhaps we can imagine a pious, prayerful people summoning up platitudes to the divine almighty. You God are my God, I earnestly seek after you. But that's not what David is doing here. If there's anything we can learn from the life of King David, is that he is a real, down-to-earth guy. And the words he uses here are not mere sentiment. When David says, I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you, you need to hear the sound of the Tasmanian wilderness and imagine cracked lips and parched throat. You need to understand the desperation. It's the thirst you get when you take a wrong turn and are stuck in the undergrowth. And I wonder if you can relate to David at this point. I wonder if you can think of a time when your whole being longed for solace in the way that David's being is here. For David, it's certainly the point. At this point in David's life, he is on the run from someone who seeks to take his throne. This is a crisis. He is losing everything. He is worried. He is concerned. His throne, his safety, his family, his own life is in peril. His power is being snuffed out. He has lost the comfort and security of his city. He's worried about whether his friends will be loyal. And so he cries out to God, I need you. I am thirsty, I long and I learn. I wonder if you can relate to David at this point. I wonder if you had times when you would sing a similar song. So what David does is he's putting this before us. Someone once said that our lives have a front stage and a backstage. The front stage is what everybody sees. We put on the smile. We show our good front. And the backstage is where the real work happens. Here David is showing us his backstage. I yearn and long for you. And he gives us a song that would express and orient ourselves in the midst of this season. So look at me at verse 2. I am in the wilderness and I am thirsty, David says, but verse 2, I have seen you. I have seen you, God, in your sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. They're interesting words for someone who is thirsty for God. But what David is doing is he's giving us a song that can be sung from the backstage of his life that orients his anxiety. I know how I pray when I'm in crisis. When I feel like I have lost something or things aren't going well, this is how I pray. I say, Lord, I have lost something and things aren't going well. That's how I pray. Remember what I had, God. Remember what I have lost. And David could be praying the same thing. Lord, remember the throne I had. Remember the city I've lost. Remember how I was secure and comfortable once. Remember that. Look what I've lost, God. But he doesn't do that. Rather, what David chooses to remember is how God was present with him when it was good and when it is bad. I remember when I saw you. I remember how much you loved me. I remember how I could praise you. I remember how I said, I will be satisfied with you as with the richest of fools. There's an honesty in that, isn't there? Sometimes we Christians pray, sing a song like this, Lord, you are my everything. You are all I need. And then we lose something. We say, God, well, I needed that. There's honesty in what David says. I remember how I have been a fool in this way. Many years ago, when I was still at Bible college, when our young children, and Jill's illness caught up with us very suddenly. And we had to do something that we never planned on doing. We had to put our preschool children into nursery. It was not part of our parenting plan. And I was a little distressed. This was not the plan. I was losing a little bit of control over my life. I was losing a little bit of sense of security and comfort. And I was angry with God about that. And I went for a walk and I reminded him of what I was losing. I yelled at him, asking him to restore the situation. And quite clearly he answered my prayer. He said, well, Will, do you trust me or not? It's not like you're going to be able to care for your children 24/7. You don't have the wherewithal to be there and catch them every time they fall. So do you trust me or not? In the end, I had to trust him. And he was faithful. He provided a nursery for our children that was run by Christians near the college where I was studying at. And in doing that, our children flourished and I beheld God's faithfulness. Over the years, time and time again, when it comes to my children, when it's good and when it's been hard, I can look back and say, there is his faithfulness. I behold his glory. But can I admit to you something? These days when my children are grown up and they're starting to fly the nest, and when I get anxious about that, I still find myself going to God and ranting at Him saying, look what I've lost. Look what I'm scared of. And I rant and I rave. And you know what I hear? Well, do you trust me or not? Do you trust me or not? And I have to be reoriented in my thirst, in my longing. David is doing this from the get-go. He is doing much better than me. He would rather sing a song of reoriented anxiety. Yes, I am anxious, he says. Yes, I am losing things. Yes, I am thirsty. But I have seen you. I have beheld your power and your glory. Your love is better than life, David says. And it's a song that reorients. Out there in the lonely night, David sings this. Verse 6. On my bed I remember you, O God. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. I cling to you. What powerful words. I don't cling to my circumstances and everything I've lost. I don't cling to my own strength, which has come to nothing. I don't cling to my own righteousness, which has counted for little. I don't cling to my own power, which is waning. David the king is not even clinging to the possibility of a restored throne. He says, I cling to you, O God. And you can see in verse 7, I sing in the shadow of your wings. There's a question here about what song we sing. And there's an easy way to answer the song that we sing. You pull out your phone and you look at Instagram, your Instagram or your Facebook. That's the song that you are singing. That's the thing that you are delighting in. Sometimes when I talk to a church about vision and about purpose and identity, I ask them to describe to me how they would describe their church to the people around them. That's the song they're singing. David could have sung songs from the memories of his power. He could have sung songs about how good it was. But here he sings from the shadow of your wings. I sing a song, he says, of how you cover me, how you protect me, how you are with me, even if it's dark and shadowy. I sing of songs of your wings. Often when I'm talking to churches about their vision and their identity, they tell me the things that they are proud of. They sing me their song of their building or their music or their programs or their activities. All of these things can come and go. But I've learned over the years that the healthy churches have learned to sing a song of the shadow of God's wings. First and foremost, they have learned that it's God who covers them first. David sings that song in his circumstances. And finally he gets to a place where he sings his final verses, verse 9 and onwards. But before we get to them, I just want to remind those of us who have been here for this series that what we have seen is that when we think of King David, often what we think of is a foreshadowing of Jesus himself. The words that David speaks, we often find on the lips of Jesus. And when I read this psalm, it reminds me of Jesus on his loneliest night, at the time of his most spiritual thirst. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was betrayed and killed. And there is a longing in his prayer. I thirst for you. I cling to you. I look to you, Father. And it comes out like this, not my will, but yours be done. I sing from your shadow of your wings. And for Jesus is into your hands, I commit my spirit. And the reason we need to go here, it's because in many ways the picture of Jesus completes this story of David. God did not save Jesus from the cross, but he did raise him up from within the death that followed. David has his time in the wilderness and is restored. Jesus passes through death itself and is raised to life. And there in that reliance upon God, this song of thirst turns into a song of hope. Verse 9, those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. We will all experience the equivalent of a Tasmanian wilderness. We will all have our night of despair and our dark night of the soul, our thirsty moment. I don't care how strong or rich or wealthy or intelligent, it will all come to a point where we find ourselves like David and like Jesus, spiritually exposed. And there we'll find out what song we have been singing. There we'll find out what faith and grace of God we can remember. There we will realize what we are clinging to. But there also, in that clinging to God, we will find our hope. We may find a song that sings of Jesus. We will find that we are in the shadow of his wings. And he may not save us from our calamity, but he will save us in it. Because we will find that he is present with us and he has not left us alone. We will find that he is present with us and he has not left us alone. And it's that which will quench the deepest thirst. Amen.